If you have your Bible there, you can go to 2 Timothy 3, and we're going to look at something to start out with here. And so the thing I want to say to you is, the Lord said there was three other things. He said you're teaching on excellence, and that's the key to promotion and protection and being preferred and provision and so forth. And he said, there's three other things I want you to spend some time on and talk about, because to be honest with you, these are all four of them, including excellence makes four of them, that are doors to success in God. And he said these are four keys to being promoted or exalted or lifted up by God. Excellence, we saw, led to Daniel's promotion. And then we also saw, when we were teaching on humility, we saw that humble yourself under the mighty hand of God, and what will happen? He will lift you up. And he'll do that in due time. Amen. There is a lifting up that comes from God, a promotion, a going to a higher place in the blessings of God. So we talked about that. And so we're going to get into this third one tonight, and that is honor. And the Lord said these are keys to success in God, keys to being lifted up by God. Or, as we might have said in services past, four things that God respects. You know, God doesn't respect everything. As we're going to read a verse here tonight, you're going to see that. There's a verse, actually, I'll just refer to it right now. It says in Luke 16, verse number 15, he said, at the end of that verse, he said, that which is highly esteemed among men is an abomination so many times to God. He's talking about carnal men. Carnal men value, or that's another word for esteem, different things than God values. You understand? And so there are some things God respects. And guess what? If we will honor God by walking in the things he respects, some things he respects, then we will see promotion. It's really not, in one sense of the word, I don't want to say this wrong, it is God doing the promoting, but really it's us aligning ourselves with the truth that brings the promotion. It's us getting ourselves in position. He's not respecting persons, he's just simply honoring his word. Honoring, whenever we honor what he honors and respect what he respects, then we get the respect and the honor of God. And there is an honor that comes from God. You know, there's a verse that says, that in, this is in 1 Samuel chapter number 2 and verse number 30. It says that they that honor me, the very last part of that verse, they that honor me, I will honor. God said there is an honor that comes from him. And God will honor men. Now listen to me very carefully. You're going to learn something tonight. God honors some things that men do, and there are some things that men do that he does not honor. Listen, what he honors is all in his word. And so, but there are some things that God honors, God respects. And these are all, to be honest with you, we start talking about excellence, we're talking about humility, we're talking about honor now, and we're going to get to another one at some point. But these are all things that are friends of faith. If you're going to walk by faith, these things must be in place. If you're going to be a faith person, you must be excellent. You must have a spirit of excellence. Your yes must be yes and your no must be no, the Bible said. And so if you're going to have a spirit of faith, if you're going to walk in faith, you'll have to be a person of humility. And we spent some time on that, so we won't get into that. But also, if you're going to be a person of faith, you're going to have to be a person of honor. There is no such thing as a dishonorable faith person. No such thing. And as we go, we'll see that. But I want you to see here in 2 Timothy chapter number 3, verse number 6, or verse number 1 through 6. Know this, that in the last days perilous times shall come. Now, we read that and we think, well, that's because of the devil. Oh, my goodness, the devil's going to be rampant and busy in the last days. He's going to be running about knowing that his time is short. And that's all true. But listen, the devil wouldn't have a single access or avenue to get into a single person's life, into a single city, into a single nation, or do a single thing if people didn't give him place. Bible said, don't give place to the devil. You know, he's been defeated. He doesn't have the ability to come in and mess up anybody's life, any nation, any city, any family, anybody's finance. He doesn't have the ability to do that. He's been destroyed, been defeated, spoiled, stripped, stomped on, amen, paralyzed, one translation says, and defeated by Jesus. He doesn't have the ability to do anything. But if he is doing something, it's because somebody's given him place. Bible said, don't give place to the devil. That means he can't have a place unless we give it to him. Listen, it can be given through ignorance. We understand that. But see, we're learning to renew our minds so that we're not giving him place. So, but he said, perilous times will come in the last days. And then he said, we read that verse, 2 Timothy 3:1, and you would think the very next verse would start talking about the devil. But it says, know this, in the last days, perilous times shall come. And then it says in verse 2, for men. See, perilous times come because of men. It's not blamed on the devil here, it's blamed on men. You understand? And so he's not blaming this on the works of Satan. He's blaming it on men. He said, men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, denying the power thereof, from such turn away. For of this sort are they, and so he goes on. But see, he's talking about perilous times in the last days because of men. The devil is not mentioned here, but he gets in, of course, we understand, but it's all through men. You know, men have authority down here, and they can hold him out, hold the devil out. Now, what I want you to see here is all of this has to do with perilous times or dangerous times in the last days, but it's due to people not living by the standards of the Word. It's due to people living their own way rather than God's way. You understand? Not living right in the eyes of God, in other words. Not living honorable before God. And according to God's standards. Listen, if you read down through here, you'll find a lot of these have to do with dishonor. It even mentions disobedience to parents. Well, that's because of dishonorable children. He mentions here truce breakers. That's people who don't keep their word because they're not honorable. You understand? And he talks here about false accusers. And nobody that is honorable falsely accuses somebody. And you could go on and on. He talks about being traitors. A person who's honorable won't be a traitor against anybody. And so you can find the root of many of these things in this passage is dishonorable lifestyle or dishonorable people. Honor, listen, the principles of honor are the underpinnings of any great man, great leader, great church, great ministry, great family, great nation, great society. All the greatness comes out of honor, where men understand honor and they practice and live honorably. Do you realize if everyone in this nation was 100% honorable, I'm not just talking about, you know, Christians, I'm talking about unbelievers. If they were all completely honorable, that means they'd be completely honest. There'd be no lying, there'd be no cheating. There'd be no need for police, there'd be no need for locks on our doors, there'd be no need for jails. Think of the prosperity that would instantly hit a nation if that nation was 100% honorable. See, honor is the reason for a broken down society. Listen, God wants us to be honorable people. Now, honor has to be taught. People don't know this unless they're taught. And listen, don't expect them to learn it out in the world. They're not going to learn. Honor is not really taught that much in the world. Some of it's taught in the military. Some of it's taught it in some of those institutions. But just out there in the world, so to speak, they don't really get much teaching on honor. Take colleges, take high school, maybe some coaches and some sports teams. Maybe they'll get into it a little bit. But generally speaking, in the society we live in, people are not taught honor in our day. But what does it mean to honor? Let's get into it a little bit. Let's just kind of stir and dig around in a little bit, because we're going to see how important it is as we go. First of all, honor, if you look it up, the core basic meaning of honor is to value, to value. And it means to attribute worth to something or someone, or to lay emphasis on it and make it important in your life. In other words, to you, it's very important. In other words, you value it highly. And so you value it enough to protect it, defend it, prioritize it, and give that first place in your life. Amen. And so it also means you have great admiration for that truth or that principle or that way of living, or we are to honor God. You have great respect and admiration for God. It means you have great respect and admiration for His Word, for His people, for the way He asks us to live. It's huge to you. It's not second thought. It's not something you think of when you just go to church. It's all day, every day. It's top of mind. It's the way you think. It's the way you conduct your life. Another way honor is defined is weighty. Weighty. And we get our we get the word honor, I should say, from the old-fashioned scales, the balance scales that used to be used to purchase things, where if you got something over here you're going to buy, if you're going to buy so much of this item or something, then you got to put something on this side that would balance that out, you know. Enough gold coins or something, or some kind of something you're trading for it, you know. And so it means, the word honor means weighty. In other words, the more valuable something is, the more money or valuable things or gold or whatever you are willing to pile up to buy it. And gold and those kinds of things were not measured by, you know, dollars and so forth. It was measured by weight. Weight. And so whenever you honor something, you give a lot of weight to it. Does that make sense? And that's what honor means. It means you attribute weightiness to it. Now, let me give you 1 Thessalonians chapter number 2. In fact, if you want to turn there, I think this verse is huge when to understand honor. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2 and look at verse 13. 1 Thessalonians 2:13. Paul was talking about how the church at Thessalonica received the word that he was preaching when he came there. And he said in verse 13, "For this cause also thank we God without ceasing, because when you received the word of God which you heard of us," he's talking about when he went there preaching, "when you received the word that you heard of us," he said, "you received it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth, the word of God." Now notice, "which effectually worketh also in you." Now notice this, "who believe." Now, I want you to see that. He said, you didn't receive this just as the word of, you know, just like, oh, that's just a man talking. You understand? He said, you gave awe and reverence to it and honored it as if God was talking to you through me, because I was preaching God's word, and you let it hit you. I mean, it was weighty with you. It wasn't a small deal. It wasn't something you just pushed aside. That's just a man talking. Amen? That's the way people of faith are with God's word. Notice he said, started out saying how much they honored what Paul preached, and ended up saying they believed it. Can you see that there's no such thing as a dishonorable person towards God's word and a faith person? That person that dishonors God's word is not a great faith person. Can you see that? I want you to see that verse, because that reveals to us a great amount of revelation concerning the way we're to hear God's word talk to us. When God's word says something, we're to give it great importance. In other words, we're to alter everything to match our lives up with that. Now, it's a little bit like the way we're not supposed to hear the word is a little bit like hearing politicians talk. Sometimes people hear politicians talk, make promises. They say, well, he's just trying to get elected. It doesn't mean anything. But see, that's not the way we're to hear the word of God. God has said it, and he'll do it. The Bible said he's not a man that he should lie. Amen. And so to be a great faith person, you're going to have to honor God's word. Now, the Bible said, we read this or referred to it, Luke 16:15, where it talks about God said, he said that what are highly esteemed among men is an abomination to God. In other words, God honors things that carnal men don't honor, and carnal men honor things that God doesn't honor. In fact, if you find something that a lot of people in society think is real important, you probably found something that God doesn't even think much about, that God doesn't pay much attention to. That's not a big deal with him. You understand? But carnal men often value something vastly different than God values. Listen, God looks on the heart. The Bible talks about a meek and tender conscience is a precious thing in the eyes of God. A lot of those kind of people, though, aren't very valuable to society. That person's not very, you know. But see, that's not the way God looks at things. There's a whole lot of things we could go through in the Word and show you what God values. And you look at our society and they don't value it very much. But that's true. That's true about the things of God, and that's true about God's word. Now, Matthew 7, verse number 6, says something very interesting, a verse that I think most of you probably can quote. Matthew 7, verse 6, give not that which is holy to the dogs, neither cast ye your pearls before swine, lest they trample them underfoot and turn and rend you. So he's saying, don't cast your pearls before swine. What does that mean? These valuable truths, some people don't have the capacity to highly esteem the precious truths of God's word that are so big to us. Some people don't have the capacity to value it. So he's saying, don't even give it to them. Don't even give it to them. They'll just trample it under. It's like a pig. You throw a rock in his pig pen, and he'll tramp that in the mud. You throw a string of pearls in the pig pen, he'll tramp that in the mud just as quick as he'll tramp those rocks in the mud. Because he has no capacity to esteem those pearls any higher than those rocks. Isn't that right? And so what's he saying? He's talking about these precious truths. That's if you read the context, he's sending out the people to preach, and he's saying, don't take these precious truths and share them with people who have no capacity to value what you're talking about. In other words, you can't share things with people who don't appreciate them. There are precious things that are huge to me that have changed my life that there's some people I can't share them with. Oh, I could share them with, but it just fall on deaf ears. It would be like throwing pearls to a pig. I'm not calling them a pig. I'm talking about their inability to appreciate something. You understand? And that's what he's talking about. Now, because God doesn't share or cast his pearls before swine. God, the Bible says in Mark chapter 4, verses 24 and 25, he said, he that hath ears to hear, let him hear. And if he doesn't have ears to hear, he'll lose what he hears. And if a man has ears to hear, even more will be given to him. And then there's a verse in Mark 4. That's in Mark 4, 24 through 25. Then Mark 4, 33. Bible said Jesus shared these things with people as they were able to hear them. As they were able to hear them. Things are revealed to you and I, precious truths from God's word. And listen, the Bible said you'll know the truth, and the truth will make you free. Is there any area you're not walking in freedom in right now? There is a truth that if you could hear it, and in my life, there are truths that if I could hear it, I could go into greater freedom and greater liberty and greater blessings in God. But why can't I hear it? Because I don't have the capacity yet to take it in. Oh, I might have heard it. It might have come across my eardrums. But whenever it came across, I didn't value it enough to lay hold of it. It wasn't important enough to me. But see, these things are revealed to you and I as we're able to hear them. What do I mean, able to hear them? I mean able to value them to the degree of their worth. These things can save our lives. Now, some people don't see it that way. They think, that's just church. I can skip it. No, to me, it's like life-saving. It's like life-changing. I got to have these things. I got to know these truths. Amen. And we're not to come to church just because we want to hear the word like we hear a beautiful song being sung or a song being played, like down at the opera. And we go our way and we say, boy, that was a good performance. That's not the way we're supposed to hear the word. Amen. We're to honor the word by giving. Listen, honor means I give it authority in my life. Okay, don't ever forget that. The Lord spoke that to me a while back. I want you to catch that. Write that down. Honor means, I'm talking about honoring God's word right now. Honor means I give God's word authority in my life. I give it the right to direct my life, correct my life, change my life, alter my thinking, alter my actions, alter my speaking. It has the right to speak into any area of my life it wants to, and any area it does. Amen. I give it the right to speak into my life. I give it the authority over my life. It's higher than me. It's more important than me. Listen, whenever I get corrected by God or His Word, it's not personal. It is simply God making adjustments in me to help me to stay in the place where I'm not turning the Word aside and not doing it because He's trying to bless me. It's not personal. Whenever correction comes from the Word, we should never take it personal. It's just simply God helping us. Amen. Honor means if we honor God's word, it means we're duty bound. We have bound ourselves. God didn't bind us. We don't have to do anything God's word says. But we bind ourselves. We are duty bound. We are honor bound to act in line with God's word because we have given it that place. That's how important and how valuable the word is. And the fruit of doing that, we know what's going to come out of it. Amen. And so we act that certain way and we are bound by by duty. We have bound ourselves and towards those things that God has brought into our lives. Listen, and we also do that towards the people God has brought into our lives that are teaching us and training us. I am honor bound and duty bound to honor my pastor and give her a voice into my life. She has a voice into my life because I have bound myself to that. You understand? God hasn't bound me to that. He has pointed them, Pastor Nancy's my pastor, pointed her out as the one who was my pastor, but He didn't bind me to honoring her, that place in her life. I mean, that place that she's been given in my life, to speak into my life. I have decided that I have bound myself to letting her speak the Word of God into my life. Amen. And speak into my life. That's something I have done because I know. Now listen, I've been in the ministry for over 30 years and the greatest, I've been around enough to see some patterns, and the ones that God is using the most in the ministry, the ones that God is blessing the most, that He is anointing with revelation and giving and increasing and giving more revelation and blessing their ministry and so forth, are not the ones. Now listen, you might take exception with me on this, but I've been around a while and I can tell you this is the truth. It's not the ones who are the greatest anointed. You understand what I'm talking about? It's the ones who are the most honorable. Listen, and I'll tell you why. Because I already gave it to you. 1 Samuel 2, verse number 30. They that honor me, I will honor. And so when people are honor bound, they're bound to honor God's word, and they're bound to honor those that God brings into their lives. They've bound themselves to that. That's not bondage in the way that people think it's bondage. It's actually liberty. So when I use that word bound themselves, I don't think bondage. Think this is the way to great victory. This is the way to actual promotion. Because remember the Lord said there's some other things I want to share with the church that are keys to promotion. So those are the people that are the most blessed and the most used and have the most revelation and the most blessed in their ministries. And so we can bind ourselves by honor. There's some things you don't need a leading of the Spirit on. Well, I'm just waiting for the Lord to lead me to do this. Well, there's some things that honor dictates that you do. You understand? Just because you're a person of honor. And you're bound by honor. What that means when I say bound, what I'm basically meaning is you give yourself no other option. You understand what I mean? People of honor don't have the option to divorce. People of honor don't have the option to leave the church God gave them or put them in. People of honor don't have the option to quit on a commitment they made. People of honor don't have the option of talking critically about people that God brought in their life to teach them and train them and bless them. Amen. People of honor don't have that option because they don't give their self that option. They don't give their flesh that option. They don't go there in their minds. They don't go there in their thought life. Am I preaching all right? Now, these are all parts of receiving from God. Faith, yes, is a big factor in receiving from God. But there's more to receiving from God than faith. A lot of people think that the reason things aren't happening in their life is because of a lack of faith. They think they're having faith trouble. When really, it's a habit of being dishonorable. That's causing the faith trouble. You remember in Jesus' hometown, Mark chapter number 6, the Bible says that he could there do no mighty work. And he marveled because of their unbelief. There's a lot of unbelief in his own hometown. They didn't honor him. It said, a prophet is not without honor. And the Bible said they were offended in him. So we've got three things. We got offense, we've got dishonor, and we've got unbelief. Those are three triplets joined at the hip. Where you find one, you'll find the other every single time. You'll find one, you find one, you'll find the other two every single time. You understand? And that town, Jesus' hometown, was a town where Jesus could there do no mighty works. Listen, if there's an area, if nothing's been happening in an area of your life, it is possible that it's because of a lack of honor for God's word in that area. Amen. In Jesus' hometown, let me go over that again. In Jesus' own hometown, he could there do no mighty work. In other words, no miracles, no signs and wonders, just a few little things, little conditions healed. But he marveled because of their unbelief. But it all went back to their dishonor for him and not recognizing the truth and the validity of the claim that the Spirit of the Lord was on him and had anointed him. They thought, well, we know him. I mean, how could he be anointed? He grew up here with us. I mean, where our children played with him in the sandbox. You know what I'm talking about? And they had disrespect for who he was in the Spirit. And that disrespect shut down the move of God. It shut down the power of God. And there were no miracles. Amen? Nothing happening. Listen, in a lot of people's lives, their lives are Nazareth. They're in a lifestyle of they're not seeing the miraculous. You remember Jesus cast out the money changers in the temple and them that bought and sold doves because they were cheating, making money off the people, buying those things. And doesn't mean it's wrong to sell something in church. It's just not for a money-making scheme. But he said he cast that out. And as soon as he cast all that out, the Bible said that the lame and the cripples and the blind came to him in the temple and he healed them. In other words, for the miraculous to flow in the temple there, he had to get something out that was grieving the Spirit. And there's things like that in our lives sometimes that's grieving the Holy Ghost, that's causing, it's shutting down the power of God and causing our life to be a Nazareth where there's nothing happening. And there's areas of all of our lives where more could be happening. Amen. Amen. And so we have to recognize these things and not treat the Word of God like, well, you know, I'll do that if I want. Well, no, it doesn't work that way. That's a dishonorable thing. Dishonor or offense, which all they run hand in hand, they break our connection to God and to His Word, and they shut down the power of God. Amen. Now, this is what it's talking about in 1 Samuel 2, verse number 30. I've referred to it three times now. And you want to look at it, you just look it up. At the end there, he's talking about Eli, actually, who was dishonorable towards God. He honored his sons more than he honored God and didn't do the right thing with his sons because they were doing the wrong thing. He didn't put them out of the ministry. And then that statement ends, that verse ends, 1 Samuel 2:30. They that honor me, I will honor. Now notice that. God's talking. I will honor. There is an honor that comes from God. Are you with me? There is an honor. I want you to catch that. There's honor that comes from men. People, you know, pat each other on the back, give each other awards, tell people they're wonderful, so forth and so on, and that's fine. But there's nothing like the honor that comes from God. Nothing. Zero. Nothing like it. Amen. Psalm 63, verse number 3, says, because thy loving kindness is better than life, and my lips shall praise thee. So what is he talking about? The favor, blessing, and honor of God. That's what that loving kindness means. All those good things from God. Favor, blessings, and honor from God that is on your life is more important than life itself. That's what that says. Remember? Listen to it again. Because thy loving kindness is better than life. I put in there, I changed that, the favor, blessing, and honor of God is better and more important in my life than this life itself. Listen, if you don't have honor, you don't have a life. You have to think about that for a moment. It's more important than we realize. And so, if you don't have honor, you don't have anything. If you lose your honor, you've lost everything. You understand? Some people say, well, I'm doing this in secret and nobody knows. Yeah, but if it gets out and you lose your honor, you could lose everything. You understand what I'm talking about? These are big issues. I have a deep hunger on the inside of me, not only to understand honor, but to be honorable. And to have the honor of God on my life as a result of honor. They that honor me, God said, I will honor. So I want to learn to honor God. And as a result, learn to walk in life down here with the honor of God on my life. Amen. I want to carry proper honor in my heart for those God has placed in my life. And express it in ways and to the proper degree that pleases God. Because they that honor me, I will honor. Now listen, somebody said, well, I honor God, but I don't honor any man. Well, baloney. There's no such thing as honoring God without honoring the people God sends into our lives. There's no such thing as a child being honorable toward God that doesn't honor their parents. You understand? Honor, so many times in the Bible, showing God honor means honoring somebody he has placed in a position. That could be spiritual. It could be civil government. Listen to me. It could be parents. It could be employees. Or I should say employees honoring their employers. Do you know 1 Peter mentions over and over again honoring and respecting and obeying and submitting to people like bosses, government officials, to parents, and so forth and so on. He and wives and husbands honoring one another and being submissive to one another. And he talks about that and even mentions it in the context of people who are in positions over us but are dishonorable. Did you know that? I don't know if you've ever thought about that. Let me give you some of those verses, just because I think sometimes we forget about it. It says in 1 Peter 3, 1 through 2. There he says to the wives, he said, let me just read it, because these are in your Bible. Praise the Lord. You can go look at it with me. I'm going to read it in 1 Peter chapter number 3, verse 1. Likewise, ye wives, be in subjection. That means submissive to your own husbands. Now, there's a verse in Ephesians that says this goes both ways, husbands and wives. Wives and husbands are to be submissive to one another. But here he mentions the submission of the wife. And he said, if any obey not the word, that if any obey not the word, they also without the word may be won by the conversation of the wives, that they may behold your, while they behold your chaste conversation coupled with fear. So he's saying, be honorable towards your spouse even when they aren't being honorable, when they aren't being a doer of the word. Oh my goodness. I said, oh my goodness. When they are being a doer of the word, he said, do this with respect towards them. Now, actually, in another passage in 1 Timothy 2:18, it says, servants, be subject to your masters with all fear, not only to the good and gentle, but also to the froward. What? That old joker, my boss, that treats people wrong? Listen, he gave you a job, didn't he? It said, even to the froward, be subject to him. Amen. They might even be using their position wrong. But he's saying, be honorable towards them. Now, I got awfully quiet out there on live stream. Because I know it did, because it got quiet here in this room. Amen. There's five or six people sitting here, and they all got real quiet. So I know it got real quiet out there. I don't believe that, Pastor. Well, that's in your Bible. Well, what am I supposed to do? You're to honor. Maybe you can't honor what they do, but honor the place they have in your life and do it as unto the Lord. You bypass them and you do it to be honorable towards God. Jesus is our example in this. The Bible talks about it in chapter 2, verse 21 through 23, and chapter 3, verse 9. You can look those things up. He's an example. He put his faith in God whenever government officials weren't treating him right and actually ended up crucifying him. Amen. And so because he did that, he was called to inherit a blessing. And if we'll put our faith in God and trust God to take care of us in those situations where another person in a place of authority is treating us wrong, then God will bypass that person and bless and honor us if we honor and submit and obey them. Amen. Your blessing will come from God, not man. Amen. I said your blessing will come from God, not man. And the Bible says in Romans chapter 13 to do this not only for the wrath of the one who's over you, but do it for conscience sake. In other words, your conscience will lead you into this if you listen to your conscience. And it's honor. I said it's honor. I know it's got quiet out there. Some of you don't like it, but that's just the way the Lord got me up the other morning and started showing me all these verses. And he said, the way you've been talking about your government concerning this shutdown, he said, it's dishonorable towards me. And he said, they that honor me, I will honor. So you're going to miss your honor if you don't get this straight. Yeah, now I got your attention. Amen. He said, you're to honor the government and honor their decisions. You might not always agree with them, but you're to pray for them. Yeah. And you're to say, I will walk in submissiveness. And that's not just an obedient attitude. I mean, an action. That's an attitude. Submission. See, the doing of the thing is obedience. The submission is the attitude. And you can be obedient and have an attitude. Yes. You've ever seen your children be obedient and have an attitude? Amen. Grumbling and complaining. Well, they don't get any blessing out of that. They said, well, they went and did it. Well, they don't still, from God, they don't get any blessing out of that. Listen to this preacher. Amen. Some of you are starting to get it right now. Amen. And so I had to make an adjustment. You say, do you agree with everything? Well, that's not the important thing. That's not the important thing. I think there's some excesses and some things, but that's not I'm not in the position to make that decision. Are you out there? Amen. Praise the Lord. And we're to pray for them. Maybe some of the reasons they make some wrong decisions is because we've been complaining rather than praying. Amen. Bible said we're to make our supply available to them. Well, see, I'm getting convicted just like you are. Well, praise the Lord. Tell your neighbor right there sitting on the couch, he's preaching pretty good, but you got awfully quiet. Amen. So, the favor and blessing of God is more, having God's blessing and favor on my life is more important than life itself. And so to get that honor, I've got to be honorable. Am I making any sense? If we don't have honor, we don't have a life. Now, listen very carefully, if you still can handle this. Well, I need to show honor for those God's put in my life more than those over me need to receive it. It's me. You see, it has to do with me. It has to do with me keeping my heart right. Are you understanding me? I need it more than they need it. The need I have to show honor is my need. Are you still there? In fact, I've come to the place that it is much more important in my life. This area of being honorable is much more important in my life than it used to be. Amen. In fact, it's become one of the chief needs of my life is that I be honorable in everything I do. Honor's reward, because remember, listen, let's go back to that verse, 1 Samuel 2, verse number 30. They that honor me, I will honor. So what is he telling us? Honor's reward is honor. You can sow it to reap it. You following me? Honor me and I will honor you. In other words, there is a reward for honoring God, and that means honoring people that he puts over us. There's a reward for it, and the reward is honor. But I have to sow it to reap it. Did you get that? And whenever I, as a man or a person, bestow proper honor, I receive honor not from that person, I receive it from God. Now, God might use people to give me back something, but yet, right on the other hand, it's not the person, it's God. God is the one that said he would reward us with his honor. And when we show honor to God, whether directly to him or honoring his representatives, we receive honor from God. Amen. I know of nothing more important than receiving honor from God. Because it'll do for you. Listen, honor will bring things into your life that you could not get any other way. Are you out there? Now, we could say concerning some of the government's decisions about the limitations of our meetings, we could say some things like, well, you know, I just don't believe that's the right thing. Well, maybe there's some things that they need to do better. Maybe that's the truth. But our attitude is more important. Our attitude is more important. Are you still out there? I didn't plan on saying all this, but I'm saying it. Our attitude is more important than whether they do the right thing or not. Because I want to be honored. I want the honor of God. I'm not talking about buttering somebody up to get something out of them. I'm not looking to man. I'm looking to God. Amen. Are you still out there? Praise the Lord. Now, when God moves on us, or among us by his Spirit, he's honoring us. When the miraculous happens in our lives to deliver us from circumstances that maybe those over us created. Are you still listening to this, preacher? Maybe because of government officials, things were set in motion that started affecting us. Anybody out there off work for a few weeks? Well, see, the government set some things in motion. What their decision affected us and adversely affected you. Are you with me? But listen to me very carefully. When God moves miraculously to deliver us from that, that's him honoring us. But to get that, we have to be honorable. To get that, we have to be honorable. To get the miraculous that delivers us, what can man do to us? The Bible said. Are you out there? Man can't do it. Man can't hurt us. If we'll stay honorable and say, well, listen, I'm praying for them to make the right decision. Maybe they made some wrong decisions, but that's not my business. My business is that I be honorable, that I pray for them, and that I lift them up, and that I walk in be at peace. Don't be a, listen, here's the way the Lord said it to me. Don't be a badgerer of governments all the time. You know what I'm talking about? Just always having a fighting spirit against the government. You know there's some things I believe that needs to be done better. You know there's some things I believe needs to be changed. I know some people needs to be removed from certain positions. But listen, I'm going to deal with that between me and God in the Spirit, and I'm not going to have a fighting spirit in the flesh where my whole ministry becomes a fighting spirit against the government. You'll lose the anointing that way. I said you'll lose the anointing that way. Boy, I didn't plan on saying all this. But the Lord dealt with me about it. I had to be corrected. I know you had everything perfect. You never said a word against anybody. You're just perfect, you know. But see, I had some adjustments I needed to make. Amen. Especially with my attitude. Amen. Anybody know what an attitude is? Amen. Praise the Lord. We're getting it. But see, it doesn't matter what man does. What can man do to me? Nothing. Because I stay honorable and I get the honor of God, which is God moving in my life by His Spirit to work miracles to deliver me from whatever man tried to put on me. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And so in Jesus' own hometown, they didn't honor Him, and they forfeited the honor of God moving among them by the anointing and by the Spirit. They forfeited that honor because they were dishonorable. Amen. Praise the Lord. Unbelief, offense, and dishonor, all three of these things shut down Jesus' ministry in His own hometown. And so they lost the honor of God moving and working miracles in their city. Oh my goodness, folks. It's not worth it. It's not worth losing the miraculous. Are you out there? See, if nothing's happening in your life, ask yourself why. They that honor me, I will honor, let's add this, with a move of the Spirit. I will honor with the miraculous to deliver us. Amen. They that honor me. If there's nothing happening, ask yourself why. Is there something in my life that has grieved the Spirit of God that has shut that down? Amen. Well, praise God. If God's correcting you, don't feel bad about it. I'm getting corrected. And guess what? When God corrects us on some of these things, let's not be offended at it. Let's receive the correction. It's not about us. It's not personal. It's about the Holy Ghost getting His way. He's just simply trying to say, hey, stay over here where I can take care of you. It doesn't matter what's going on. I can take care of you. And I will take care of you. I will honor you with the miraculous move of my power to deliver you if you'll keep your heart right, keep your mouth right, and shut up. Pray. Amen. Praise the Lord. And so this is about the Spirit getting His way. Without honor for what God honors, whether it be what He says, and this is what He says, this is how we read to treat some of this kind of thing, without honoring those that are His representatives, whether it be one of His servants or whoever it is, without honor for that, we will not receive from God. So, if we are wise, will not despise when He's correcting us along this line. Amen. He's getting us back into position where the Word will work. And where we can be in the place of blessing where everything's taken care of. Hallelujah. He's getting us, keeping us in a zone that we receive without hindrance. See, somebody said one time, and I love the illustration, they said honor is like cruise control on your car. You know, you set your car on cruise control. You want to stay within a certain speed, and you don't want to be distracted and, you know, maybe speed up too much, get over the speed limit too much, so you set it on cruise control. And so what cruise control does, like if you're going up a hill, it'll kick in some more gas to keep you at that same speed. If you're going down a hill, it'll back it off so that you don't go faster than you should. Isn't that right? So what cruise control does is it kind of keeps you in a certain zone. It keeps you safe. You know, you don't come up over a hill or start going down a hill, I should say, and there's a policeman and he stops you for speeding because you've got cruise control and it keeps you in the safe zone right there where you should be. Isn't that right? Well, that's what honor is. It keeps you in the safe zone. It keeps you where you're able to keep on receiving from God. It keeps you in the place where, I like to say it this way, keeps you under the spout where the blessings come out. Honor does. It's a little like guardrails on the side of the road. It keeps you in the middle where you can keep on moving forward. Amen. And so all through the Bible, we see there's a connection to these things. There's a connection to there's a connection between honor and faith. I want to close by just reading a couple of them. But before I do, let me say this. Honor opens doors to rewards. Honor creates order in our lives. It teaches us accountability and it teaches us loyalty. I'll say that again. It opens doors of rewards. It creates order and teaches us accountability and loyalty. Notice that term, it creates order. There's a lot of talk in our society about, you know, disorder or dysfunction, or this family's dysfunctional, or this person's dysfunctional, and so forth and so on. We hear a lot about that. I'll tell you something that'll bring things back into order. Honor. Honor. Amen. Amen. So there's rewards for honor. Now, let's talk about the connection before we go any further. The connection between honor and faith. In Jesus' hometown, there he could do no mighty work because of dishonor, but he said he marveled because of unbelief. But in Hebrews 11:7, this verse says, Hebrews 11:7, by faith Noah, being warned of God of things to come, moved with, now we miss this because we don't use the word fear, right? But he said, moved with fear, build an ark to the saving of his house. Amen. So, by faith Noah, let's paraphrase it. By faith, Noah moved with reverence. Because the word fear there is not fear like a rattlesnake, or like you would be afraid of a rattlesnake. It's fear like respect or regard or honor is another word for it, for God. And so, by faith, Noah, because of his respect for God. Isn't that right? Because honor for what God said to him so moved Noah, the result was he ended up in faith. Did you get that? I'll say that again. Because of what God said, because of Noah's honor for what God said, and he had such regard for it, it so moved him that the result was he ended up being a person of faith. So what, in other words, what God said to him, he gave it a lot of weight. He valued it highly, and it moved him to the point where he ended up in faith. He became a person of faith. And you'll find that connection throughout the Bible. The Bible talks about in Deuteronomy, you can just write this verse down, Deuteronomy chapter 32, actually it's in verse 15 and in verse number 20. But I'll just refer it to you. You can just write it down, Deuteronomy 15 and Deuteronomy 32, verses 15 and 20. I want to get over here to read it because it's important that I say it right. Deuteronomy 32, verses 15 and 20. They say pretty much the same thing. Jethro waxed fat and kicked. Thou art waxen fat, thou art grown thick, thou art covered with fatness. Then he forsook God, which made him, and lightly esteemed the rock of Israel. And then verse 20. Let me read both of them. He said, I will hide my face from thee. I will see what their end shall be. For they are very froward, a generation, children in whom is no faith. Now you put those verses together. Verses 15. They lightly esteemed the rock of their salvation. And they were children in whom there was no faith. Do you get that? Because they did not esteem or give value or importance to God or to his word, then he said they weren't people of faith. If you get this honor issue right, faith will almost be automatic. I don't know if you've ever thought about that or not. Faith will almost be automatic if you give God's word and what God says and the people he brings into your life the right value. If you value them properly. Amen? Can you see the connection between honor and faith? You can find it also in several different places. The Bible tells us to discern the body of Christ. In 1 Corinthians 11, verse 29, it talks about by doing that, we receive healing for our body. Well, what does it mean to discern the body of Christ? It means to properly recognize and properly receive other members of the body of Christ, those around us, these divine connections that God has given us in the body. And he's saying, by doing that, properly recognizing them, perceiving who God... if I had time. You remember over in 2 Kings 4:9, the Bible talks about the great woman of Shunem. She said to her husband, I perceive, this is a holy man of God that keeps coming by here. Talking about Elijah. This is a holy man of God. And so I want to do something for him. And so she perceived that. Notice, she perceived that. And the Bible says we're to know those who labor among us. Know them after the Spirit, not after the flesh. But know, in other words, perceive by the Spirit the giftings, the anointings, or the place God is giving someone in our lives. And then, he said, discern it. That discerning also means, from the context, you look at 1 Corinthians 11:29 very closely, it doesn't mean to just recognize it. It means to give that person the proper place by giving them the proper respect. That means honor. Amen. And he said, by doing that, we bring these invaluable anointings and giftings into our lives. What does that mean? That the giftings or the ministry offices or any other person God has anointed, set them over us to bless us, to author blessings. The word authority has the word author in it. Listen very closely. I'm almost done. But the word author means to, in other words, authority. I like to say it this way. Authority is given the right by God to author blessings in our lives. That's what God sets authority over us for. See, all relationships are governed by the law of love. Now, do people abuse places of authority? Yeah. But see, we already read what to do about that. Look to God, bypass them, but honor them as if we were honoring the Lord. And we will receive a blessing by having the right attitude towards them. Am I still in the right room? Am I preaching to the right crowd? So what do we say? What we're saying is, by doing that, God sets authority in our lives to author blessings. If we'll honor it correctly, those blessings come our way. And he's saying here, by discerning the body of Christ and recognizing the others around us and what the giftings that are in each other and the blessings that are on ministry offices especially, these things will start to work. The anointing on their life will author blessings in our lives. But not if we're criticizing, you know, being dishonorable, talking about them behind their back. Amen. How many of you know we're called to pray? We're called to ask God to open the eyes of their understanding. We're not called to criticize. Amen. And I could take you into much more of that in the scriptures. But praise the Lord, we're getting this tonight. When it comes to properly receiving those in the body of Christ around us, God will use that or those offices or those people in those places to author blessings in our lives. The Bible says concerning children, for example, whenever they properly honor their mother and father, one of the blessings is they'll live long on the earth. Your parents might not have done everything right, but see, honor them anyway and give them respect because God used them in so many ways. And God will make sure and take care of you. Can you say amen? Well, hallelujah. There's more, but we just need to end for the night. I'll say this: dishonor gets angry. Dishonor criticizes. Honor prays. Honor and faith pray. Can you say amen? So let's be honorable. What do you say? Hallelujah. Do you believe God can turn around and honor you as you are honorable and make sure and take care? Let's say right now you're off work and you're not getting a paycheck because of some government official's decision. Well, do you believe God, if you'll be honorable and you'll pray for them, not criticize them, talk right about them, do you believe God can make that up and move? Because they that honor me, I will honor. Do you believe God can do that? Not only do I believe he can, I believe he will. But we got to make some of these adjustments. Amen. Are you ready to make some adjustments with me? I got rebuked. I got corrected. I got challenged. I got everything that I preach about honor started coming, flooding back in on me. And I started realizing, wait a minute, I preached it, but I got to do it. I got to practice it. So let's do it together. What do you say?